This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Well, when Judge Von Walker overturned Proposition 18, California's Marriage Protection Amendment, he said that he had uncloaked the true motives of religious believers. He says the evidence shows conclusively that moral and religious views form the only basis for a belief that same-sex couples are different from opposite-sex couples. Joining us to talk about Judge Von Walker's bias against religion, Alan Wisdom, on this Tuesday afternoon, August the 24th. Alan is vice president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C. He's author of a recent column for the Washington Times titled, Marriage Over the Rainbow, Ruling Would Make Religious Believers Enemies of the State. Alan, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Pleased to be with you, Todd.
Does Judge Von Walker have a bias against religion?
It certainly seems so from his decision. He specifically targets religious groups and says that religious beliefs that gay and lesbian relationships are sinful harm gays and lesbians, and he actually names specific churches in his decision.
Among those churches, I noticed in the Washington Times piece that you wrote, my own church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What kind of objections are being raised by these church bodies, others are named there, that he says harms gays and lesbians?
Well, I'm aware that the Roman Catholic Church has specifically expressed concern because it was named. The Southern Baptist Convention, the Orthodox Church in America, the Free Methodist Church, and the Evangelical Presbyterian Church were also specifically named. I'm not aware of responses from them. But the broader picture is that Judge Walker, citing one of the witnesses for changing the definition of marriage, identifies religion as the chief obstacle for gay and lesbian political progress, and the religious groups that he names are all traditional Christian groups.
So what is his reasoning here? Obviously there's something here to disagree with, but how would you lay out his reasoning on Prop 8, why he found it unconstitutional, vis-a-vis the objections of religious believers?
Well, Judge Walker goes beyond what he would have had to do to overturn Proposition 8. He finds that that it violates the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. But he goes further and he asserts that the only possible reason for distinguishing the marriage of man and woman from same-sex relationships is religious or moral beliefs. And he furthermore holds that these beliefs have no rational basis, that people who disapprove of same-sex relationships do so purely on the basis of stereotypes and misinformation. So he in effect, is attacking traditional Christian doctrine and saying that it has no rational basis and it's merely stereotypes and misinformation.
By that reasoning, who would be qualified to raise any objections to same-sex marriage?
Well, precisely. He's rigged the argument so that he will not admit any reasoning on the other side. He barely pays any attention to the arguments that people make that children do best with their biological mother and father married to one another, a point that's established by abundant research. He asserts as a matter of fact that, quote, the genetic relationship between a parent and a child is not related to a child's adjustment outcomes. And he denies that children have any particular need to have a mother and a father. So he just dismisses out of hand the secular arguments that people make for continuing to treat the marriage of man and woman as a unique and special relationship, and he labels it all as non-rational religious doctrine.
Now, Judge Von Walker said that the overturning of Proposition 8 would not, quote, affect the First Amendment rights of those opposed to marriage for same-sex couples. Is that true?
Well, the narrow sense in which he said that, it is true. true, it's unlikely that the state would require any church to marry a same-sex couple. Ministers and priests and pastors have always been able to decide whom they will marry and whom they will not marry. But in the larger sense, it's quite misleading, because if the state establishes as a doctrine that there is no difference between the marriage of man and woman in same-sex relationships, then any individual or group who tries to treat the two differently will become the object of allegations of discrimination, and the very same laws that are used to prohibit racial discrimination will come down upon the heads of people like that.
If his logic is carried to its conclusion, it strikes me that it would exclude any religious thinking or any thinking based upon religious notions from any discourse in the public square, especially legal discourse.
Well, exactly. Judge Walker cites as a thing prejudicial to Proposition 8 that 84% of people who attend church regularly voted for it. So he takes the fact that religious people would support a position as evidence that that position is suspect legally. He cites the fact that the campaign for Proposition 8 was endorsed by the Mormons, the Catholic bishops, and many evangelical churches as another strike against it. So he basically is trying to rule religious people out of discourse about these issues, even when they have not only religious reasons, but also quite strong secular reasons for taking the position that they do.
Is this classical question begging? In other words, is he asserting as a conclusion something that he has not proven?
Exactly. He makes the assumption that religious beliefs are not rational. And so when he believes he's uncloaked the true motives of people who favor the marriage of man and woman and that they're just religious, he assumes that he has thereby proven that they are not rational.
I find it difficult to believe, having looked at his finding of facts and his legal reasoning, that this decision that Judge Von Walker has made about Proposition 8 will be upheld by more dispassionate voices elsewhere in the court system. What do you think?
I think that is precisely the hope that we have to have, those of us who support retaining marriage as the union of a man and a woman, that the judge overreached, and that higher courts will look at that and realize that he went way too far and that they will overturn this decision.
If by some chance they do not, what's the result?
I think the result is a grave concern to everyone who holds the marriage of man and woman to be a special relationship. We've already seen in jurisdictions that recognize same-sex marriage the ways in which that then puts traditional Christian groups at a disadvantage. In Massachusetts and the District of Columbia, Catholic charities have been driven out of the adoption business because they prefer to place children with a mother and father married to one another, and they do not wish to place children with same-sex couples. Well, that's now regarded as discrimination. It's not allowed, and so Catholic charities cannot sponsor children for adoption. We're going to see all other kinds of instances involving hiring practices, involving benefits for married employees. Are you going to be forced to give the same benefits to same-sex couples? Involving counseling related to marriage. If you have a Christian counseling ministry, will you be required to counsel same-sex couples alongside married couples? It involves marriage-related facilities and services. A photographer in New Mexico was fined because they wouldn't take photos at a same-sex union ceremony. So there are all kinds of ways in which the coercion of the state will be brought to bear against people who insist on discriminating between marriage and same-sex relationships.
Two quick final questions. If you had time to talk to Judge Von Walker What would you tell him about religious believers in same-sex marriage?
I would tell him that I think he was gravely mistaken in believing that religious believers are motivated by animus and dislike of gay and lesbian people. The reason that we hold to biblical teaching on marriage is because we believe it's a blessing to all people. And when we depart from God's pattern of man and woman together for a lifetime in marriage, whether it's in a heterosexual or a homosexual relationship, we harm ourselves and we harm other people. And it's out of love that the church proclaims this doctrine. It's not out of a desire to harm gay and lesbian people.
Then with only about 20 seconds, are you surprised that the opponents of California Prop 8 have apparently been content to allow Judge Von Walker's flawed legal reasoning to be the kind of on the masthead, so to speak, of their movement?
Well, I think many of them share his reasoning. But aside from that, we do have the unfortunate phenomenon in our society that people are happy to see judges deliver the result that they want, and they don't often think about the reasoning that leads to that result and whether that reasoning puts us into all kinds of future dangers.
Alan Wisdom is vice president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C., author of a recent column in the Washington Times titled Marriage Over the Rainbow, Ruling Would Make Religious Believers Enemies of the State. You'll find a link to this column and to the Institute on Religion and Democracy under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Alan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we'll round off this first hour of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, August the 24th. With your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. That comment line is always open for your comments, your questions, your criticism. The number, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384, the Issues Etc. comment line, and your comments next.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page and click Share This.